chapter 19 and reading from verse number 16, please. Matthew chapter 19 and reading from verse number 16. Matthew chapter 19 and reading from the verse number 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honour thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And we do trust the Lord to bless the reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts this evening. Many times during the Lord's ministry, there were times of great astonishment. I can't imagine what it must have been like to stand with the Lord Jesus Christ and to see him walk on the water, to see him calm the storm, and just to be there and to experience such a phenomenon. It must have been absolutely and totally amazing. To see a young lad bring 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, and for the Lord Jesus Christ to take them and to turn it into a meal sufficient to feed 5,000 plus, and for them some still to be left over. For the Lord Jesus to stand at the tomb of Lazarus and to cry out, Lazarus, come forth, and to see a man who'd been dead for 4 days coming out standing in his grave clothes. What an amazement and what a wonderful experience it must have been. When we come to the story tonight of one who is known as the rich young ruler, we'll say more about him in a few moments. Something happens and it causes the disciples to be amazed. Matthew talks about their amazement. Mark says in his account, and they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? They were astonished at the teaching here of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, this is not a parable. Remember, this is not a story that the Lord told just to try and illustrate a point. This really happened. This young man came to the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe, and I think I'm right in saying it, he's the only person individually who ever came to the Lord Jesus Christ and left in a worse condition than when he arrived. The only person to come and to meet the Lord and to leave in a worse condition than when he arrived. Matthew, Mark and Luke all record this story this evening, and I'll be drawing from all of the 3 gospel writers tonight. I remember when I used to lift the 2 older children at school, particularly Matthew. There was a young girl in Matthew's class called Holly, and there was a man who had his eye on Holly. And he used to come and he used to lift her driving a Jaguar. His name was Rory McIlroy. And many of you will know who he is now. Then he wasn't really all that famous. But he was a young man and he's obviously a very rich man. And at one point in his life he was number 1 golfer in the world. We could say he was a ruler. In many ways he was a rich young ruler. Tonight we meet a man in Scripture. He was rich. He was young. And he was a ruler. Yet in spite of all this man's achievements, the one we're going to look about this evening, he walks away from the Lord Jesus Christ and he leaves a sorrowful man. And I'm sure he walked in some wonderful places because of his position, because of his riches, because of all that he had going for him, but he would never step on the streets of glory. He would never walk that golden street that we were thinking about a few weeks ago in our Bible study. His feet would never reach the glory shore. How sad that tonight. How sad that you could be in the meeting with so much going for you, and yet you could miss heaven. Let's talk about this young man this evening. I want to talk about his affluence first of all. He certainly had privilege. Luke tells us, and when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Matthew talks about him having great possessions. Matthew also tells us in verse 22 that he was young. He had lived a life of privilege. The world really was his. He could have anything he wanted. All seemed to be within his reach. He certainly was a privileged man. He was rich and he was young. We could talk about his position. He was also a ruler. Luke tells us in his account that he was a ruler. Probably he had some influence in the local synagogue. For a young man to have that influence, he had risen the ladder of success very quickly. But his assets were about to become his liability. His most important asset was something he hadn't put in the balance sheet, and that was his soul. The Lord Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Do you see his affluence tonight? We see his diligence tonight. There are some commendable things we could say about this young man. We could talk about his haste. Mark tells us when he was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" You see him coming and he's running to the Lord Jesus. Luke tells us in Luke 19 verse 5 about little Zacchaeus. Remember, we studied him a few weeks ago. When the Lord came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." You see the urgency. This young man had urgency in his life. He came running to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to come to Christ, and it's good to come when you're young. Most people are saved when they're young. You see, as we get older, the devil tightens the grip. We become hardened to the gospel. And it seems to become more difficult. Thank God it's not impossible. It seems to become more difficult to reach those who are hardened in their sin with the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to see this young man coming. Interestingly, that this young man had riches. This young man had respectability. This young man had religion. This young man was a ruler. And yet he knew there was something missing. He knew in his heart there was something just not right. He didn't have the joy. He didn't have the peace. He didn't have the contentment that he so desired. And he comes speedily and he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see his haste? Then we see his humility. Again, Mark tells us in his account, when he had gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him. I'm sure many people would kneel to this young man. I'm sure many people would want to impress him. Many people would want to have his ear. But here he comes and he's not ashamed to kneel at the feet of Jesus Christ. You see his humility. Mark tells us he came when Christ was in the way. That tells us he was on the road, basically. It was daytime. It wasn't night. When Nicodemus came, he came by night. We don't know the reason. Possibly he didn't want others to see him. This young man didn't care who was watching. This young man boldly comes and he runs and he kneels down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some commendable things. We could talk about the diligence of this young man. You see his haste. You see his humility. We could talk about him honoring. In Mark's account again, he calls the Lord good master. He shows reverence to the Lord Jesus Christ. He maybe didn't fully understand who he was, but and yet he shows some reverence to the Lord. There's a lot of good things we could say about him. A few months ago, Her Majesty the Queen, she got into a little bit of trouble, and it's not often she says something out of place, but she was caught off camera talking about the Chinese diplomats who had come, and she described them as being very rude. Very rude. Imagine being rude in the presence of Her Majesty the Queen. This young man wasn't rude in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came running. He came kneeling. And he says, good master. You see his haste, you see his humility, you see him honouring the Lord. I believe this young man had an interest in heaven. Look at our reading in verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? This young man had so much going for him. He had a lot of things. He would have known the answer to many questions. I'm sure people come to him and ask him to speak at seminars on perhaps he was an entrepreneur, perhaps there was something special about him, and he could answer lots of questions, but here was a question that he didn't know the answer to. What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? But you notice he was interested in eternal life. You notice he had an interest in heaven. This young man is maybe way ahead of you tonight. Some of you haven't got that interest. Some of you aren't running because you think you have plenty of time. Some of you aren't showing any due reverence to the Lord Jesus Christ. But this young man is way ahead of you tonight, and he's running and he's bowing and he's kneeling, and he says, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He's asking a question he doesn't know the answer to. I was watching Pointless the other day, and I don't think I sit and watch TV all day. But I don't like The Chase. I like Pointless. A lot of people watch The Thing on the other side, but I like Pointless, and there was a young girl on it, and she was asked to name a country. Marcella's laughing because she knows what's coming. She was asked to name a country, and the last two letters are consonants. And so she thought for a moment, she says, I did geography at A level, I'm going to say Paris. Now, if you don't know why she's stupid, then you're in trouble tonight. And the girl that was with her was absolutely affronted and ashamed. A simple question that she didn't know the answer to. This man comes with a question and he doesn't know the answer. What good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life? Before we think about that this evening, before we could criticize him this evening, tell me, have you any interest in heaven tonight? Have you any desire for heaven tonight? Scripture says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And there's so many people do not care. There's so many things in the world that we can do. We live in an exciting age, an age when so many things have advanced. Ford are now saying they're developing an electric car that can be recharged wirelessly. You just have to drive into the spot and she'll charge automatically. No wires needed. What an exciting age. What an age of advancement that you and I are living in. And yet man still struggles with this question. The question about heaven. And how to get to heaven. See this young man's affluence. You see his diligence. I think he's way ahead of some, perhaps in the meeting this evening. But then we see something of this young man's ignorance as well. I think he's ignorant here about salvation. Look again in verse 16. Behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do? You know, he'd worked all his life for everything that he had. I would say he was a hard worker. And he said, hard work and effort equals results. And he put the same formula into salvation. And so he asked the Lord, what can I do to have eternal life? Give him something to do and he'll do it. Give him a task and he'll accomplish it. Is there a mountain you want me to climb on my hands and feet like Kirkpatrick? Is there a ritual or a sacrament that you want me to observe? Whether it be baptism or confirmation, whatever you want to call it. Is there something that you want me to do? Give me something to do, Lord, that I can have this eternal life. And you know, we have many in our land today, and they're still the same. This man came with the right issue. He came to the right person. He came the right time. And he came the right way. But he's asking the wrong thing. He's asking what he has to do to get to heaven. Thank God tonight our message is not a message of what you have to do. It's a message of what Jesus Christ has done. When the Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross, and one of those famous cries, so simple and yet so sublime, so profound tonight, it is finished, paid in full. The Lord Jesus has done everything that has to be done. Anything you would try to do, you're adding to salvation. You're taking away from salvation. You're interfering with the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was achieved when Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again. It is received by faith. Do you remember the Philippian jailer? Do you remember what he said? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Do you remember what Paul says? Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Lord's not asking you to do some deed. The Lord's not asking you to go and walk up a mountain or join a club or even join a church or go through some sacrament or go through some ritual. He wants you to realize tonight that it's in Christ and Christ alone that you can find salvation tonight, and then His finished work. If this, the Lord had said to this man, here's some great deed that you need to do, he would have been willing to do it. Someone said to Rockefeller one time, what is enough? And one of the richest men that ever lived said, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. You see, it's the same with all the cults and all the isms. Whereas Catholicism or Islam or any of the isms that are about, you've never done enough. You've never reached that point. Because you and I can never reach that point. We always fall short because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This young man was ignorant about salvation. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves tonight. He's also, I believe, ignorant about the Saviour, who Jesus really was. Look at verse 16 again. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Why callest thou me good? The Bible is very careful with the word good. Paul says clearly, there is none good, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. You and I were born in sin and were not good. No matter what anybody tells you, we're not good. Outside of Christ, we're not good, spiritually speaking. There is none good but one, the Lord Jesus Christ says, and that is God. And what he's saying to this young man is, don't be calling me good unless you realize that I'm God. And that's exactly who Jesus Christ was. That's exactly who Jesus Christ is. He was God, manifest in flesh. A few weeks ago we preached on Zacchaeus, as I mentioned, and the title of the sermon was, If You Only Knew. And you know, little Zacchaeus, when he heard the Lord Jesus Christ call him, he responded quickly, he responded positively. It seems he had an understanding of who Christ was. Listen, if you really knew who Jesus Christ was, you would respond tonight. The Son of God. God manifest in flesh. The Lord of glory. And he comes to a meeting like here in Rathfrieland Baptist Church. And he wants to speak to you and he wants to save you tonight. If you really understood who he was. This young man didn't really know who Jesus was. Don't call me good unless you're going to call me God. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is not someone who shows us the way. He is the way. He's not someone who dispenses truth. He is the truth. He doesn't point out the pathway to life. He himself is life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. He was ignorant about salvation. He was ignorant about the Saviour. You know something else? He's ignorant about himself. Look at verse 17 through to 19. He said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honour thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. The Lord speaks to him about the commandments. All the commandments here that the Lord highlights are all to do with our relationship with others. You will see that he talks about murder. That's our relationship with our fellow man. He talks about adultery. I don't need to go into that this evening. He talks about stealing. He talks about bearing false witness. He talks about honouring our mother and our father. It's all about our relationship with others. And so the Lord speaks to him about his relationship with others. What is the purpose of the commandments? Romans 3 verse 20. Therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. John tells us in John 1, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Before grace, we have the law. Before we can avail of grace, we're brought face to face with our sin. And that's what the Lord's doing here. He's reminding this young man of the commandments. He's reminding this young man that he is a sinner. Look what the young man says in verse 20. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? That's a big statement, isn't it? I'm sure he's sincere. I'm sure he actually means it. I'm nearly sure about that. All these things have I kept from my youth. You know, remember, to break the law, we don't only break it in deed, we break it in thought. This young man is saying he's never had a sinful thought when it came to adultery. He's never taken anything that wasn't his. Right down through his life. Can any of us honestly tonight come to God and say, all these things have I kept from my youth? You see, the Lord's bringing him face to face with his sin. James says, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Peter says in 2 Peter 3 verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to us toward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the word repentance there is used as a synonym for salvation. He could also have said, come to salvation. There's no salvation without repentance. And you can't get saved, you cannot have eternal life, unless there's an understanding tonight that you're a sinner. And unless you want that sin to be dealt with, unless you're happy to trust Jesus Christ, that he will remove that sin out of your life and make you brand new. But first of all, you have to recognize your own condition. This young man's ignorant of himself. All these things have I kept from my youth. He feels that everything is good. You know, you could keep 9/10 of the law, but that's not enough. If you ever have a windscreen, and maybe at the bottom corner there's a little crack in the windscreen, and even though the windscreen mostly looks okay, you have to say your windscreen's cracked, even if it's just a tiny little crack in the bottom corner. And you could live a good life, you could live a clean life, but listen, unless you can honestly say, like this young man, that you have kept all of these commandments and never broken any in word, thought, or deed, you're a sinner tonight. Someone described it like hanging over a precipice. And the only thing between you and falling to a certain death is a chain, and there are 10 links in the chain. But one of the links is missing. Well, you know the chain without that link is no use. And you can live such a good life and keep as many of the commandments as you want, but listen, you'll never keep them perfectly. You'll never keep them perpetually. And the Lord Jesus is trying to bring this young man to a point where he realizes he's a sinner. John Bunyan said, wilt thou have thy sins and go to hell, or leave thy sins and go to heaven? You cannot have it both ways. You see the affluence, you see the diligence, you see the ignorance. He's ignorant of who Jesus really was. He's ignorant of his own condition. Then you see the omniscience of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord Jesus knows all about this young man, just like he knows all about you tonight. You remember he met the woman at the well? We looked at her a few weeks ago as well. Remember he says, go call thy husband and come hither. And the Lord puts his finger right on the spot of her sin. He'd never met her before. No one had told him about it, but the Lord Jesus is the omniscient one, is the all-knowing one. He knew exactly all about this woman's past. He knew about her present, and he even knew about her future. And the Lord Jesus knows all about you tonight. And the Lord knew all about this young man. Remember, he spoke only about the commandments that were external. He didn't talk about the commandments that are internal. Exodus 20 verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You see, the first four commandments deal with our relationship with the Lord. There's a bit of a debate over the fifth. And then the final six, five all deal with our relationship with each other. And it's simple. You're right with the Lord, you'll be right with other people. If you have a problem tonight as a Christian with someone else, you first of all have a problem with the Lord. Because if you're right with the Lord, you'll be right with other people. As much as lieth in you. You see, when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ here, the Lord knows the problem this young man has. He's rich. The Lord knows that this young man has made a god out of his gold. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. It's interesting what Mark says. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. I think that's such a sad verse, isn't it? Here's a young man that came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it says the Lord loved him. And yet he left and was lost and went to hell. A young person in the meeting tonight, I can tell you in the authority of the Word of God that God loves you. I can tell you in the authority of the Word of God that He's not willing that any should perish. But I can tell you again, looking into the Word of God, you could die and you could go to hell even though you're loved by the Lord. Because that's what this young man does. The Lord said to him over in Mark's Gospel, "One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor." The Lord knew this man had made a god out of his money. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He chose sadness and not gladness. He chose the temporal and not the eternal. He wanted the physical, not the spiritual. He wanted the money, not the Messiah. He wanted riches. He didn't want the Redeemer. You see, the Lord doesn't talk about grace. He doesn't talk about the gospel, because until he realizes he's a sinner, the Lord can't take him any further. This young man doesn't see himself as a sinner. What is it in your life tonight that's so important, so precious, so valuable that you're willing to turn your back on Jesus Christ for it? For Judas, it only took 30 pieces of silver. For others, there's some idol, something in their life, something that's holding them back from the Lord Jesus Christ. I think in his heart, this young man, when he said, "All these things have I kept from my youth," I have a feeling, and I could be wrong, that he expected the Lord to pat him on the back and said, "You're doing a good job." But the Lord didn't pat him on the back. I played football when I was young. I was usually in goals. Usually if you were no use, they stuck you in goals. That's what it used to be like. And you would know me with eyesight like this. I wasn't much of a goalkeeper. But one day I got playing outfield. And I remember standing in the box. And I remember the ball coming across, and really it hit my head. And I went up into the top corner of the net. And it was just about half time. The manager never had ever said anything to me before. He never said, "You played well, you did this." But going in at half time, I was sure, I'm going to have my moment of glory. Surely he's bound to say, "You've played well." He talked about everybody else. He never mentioned me at all. I actually interrupted him. I says, "I'm playing well, how bold." He says, "If you're playing well, I'll tell you." I think this young man expected a pat on the back from Jesus. I think he expected the Lord to say to him, "Well done." But the Lord had a different message for him. He says, "There's something you lack." This young man couldn't see his own sinful condition. The Lord can't even tell him how to get saved. Is that the barrier of the sin between you and the Lord tonight? Because if you can't see that tonight, you can't be saved. If you cannot see the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, who gave himself on that center cross for you, who died that you might be saved, if you can't see that tonight and understand who he is and how much he loves you, if you cannot see your own sin tonight, then the Lord can't save you tonight. You see the affluence of this young man. You see the diligence of this young man. You see the ignorance of this young man. You see the omniscience of the Savior. Then we see the omnipotence of the Savior as well. This young man considers his situation. He has to decide, will he keep his sin or will he go for the Lord? Will he hear what Christ has to say? He decides he can't do it and he walks away. He made a big mistake here. It wasn't that he realized that he couldn't do it. He didn't realize he was standing in the midst of the one who could do it. The one who could save him. And so many people walk away from Jesus Christ because they have in their minds, I couldn't keep it. I couldn't live that life. I couldn't maintain that testimony. And listen, we can't do it. But the Lord Jesus Christ does it for us. Paul says, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. It's not something that you can do tonight. It's all about what Jesus Christ has done tonight. You know, after the Lord tells the disciples this story, after they witness it, in Mark 10, verse 27, Jesus looking upon them, they ask the question, who then can be saved? The Lord says, with men it's impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Don't walk away tonight. Whatever the barrier is in your mind, whatever Satan has put in your mind, remember the God of this world blinds the minds of them that believe not. Whatever it is tonight, the Lord Jesus can deal with it tonight. He's well able to save you tonight. He's well able to cleanse you from sin tonight because of what he accomplished at Calvary. It's all done tonight. There's nothing you have to do. Only reach out with the arms of faith. Realizing your sin, repenting of your sin, and accepting Christ as your Savior. And He'll come. And He'll save you. And He'll do it now. January the 8th, 1935. That's 82 years ago to this very day. A very famous man was born in the United States. A man who eventually had the name of Elvis Presley. I remember just reading this week that they're having a birthday party for him today, even though he's dead from 1977. But a number of years ago, I was fascinated by a story about Elvis Presley. His Bible was up for sale. And his Bible sold for £59,000. But on the leaf of his Bible, sometimes Elvis would write down a verse or write down a note. And when he came to Luke 9, verse 25, he wrote out the whole verse. It's strange coming from a man like Elvis Presley, who at one time had the whole world at his feet. And this is what he scribbled down in his handwriting. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? That's how Luke puts it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? The rich young ruler would need to have come to that verse. And realizing he was throwing his soul away for some of this world's goods, for some of this world's treasure. What about you tonight? Is that what's got in between you and the Lord tonight? What sin is so enjoyable that you're willing to go to hell for it? Let's bow in a moment's prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for thy word this evening. And Lord, we thank you for the truth of this young man that is revealed in Scripture. And Lord, it's a sad story. It's a heartbreaking story. For a young man with so much potential and so much going for him to come to Jesus Christ and to walk away. The Scripture says he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Maybe tonight there's some young person in the meeting. And Lord, they've walked away from you so many times already. And yet tonight, Lord, you're speaking. Tonight, Lord, you're inviting. And Lord, our heart's desire and prayer is tonight that any young person or older person in this meeting without Christ, Lord, that they'll not walk away from Christ, but they'll run to Christ, embrace Him by faith, and make Him their Savior even tonight.
Lord, move in our midst and save precious souls. For it's in and through our Savior's name we pray. Amen.
We're going to sing another.